Every handshake can lead to something different. And whether it's assembling parts or starting startups, each deserves a banking partnership that's one of a kind. At CIBC, we tailor our services to you. We deliver on your business goals with an experienced commercial banking team you know and the resources of a bank with 150 years of putting clients first. A handshake with us leads to a banking partnership that's made for you. CIBC Commercial Banking. CIBC Bank USA, member FDIC.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved in making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of smalty music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe that today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
Can it be a fire conference that isn't dopey and heretical? You betcha. In New Jersey, no less, Tom's River specifically. Check out Jersey Fire. Who is going to be at this great evangelistic equipping conference? None other than Dan Phillips from Pyromaniacs, Carl Kirby Jr., Andrew Rappaport, all equipping you at the great Jersey Fire Conference. Find out more now at jerseyfire.org.
I want to tell you about Sports Fan Outreach International. Sports Fan Outreach International participates in the Great Commission by mobilizing, equipping, and discipling teams of preachers and evangelists to proclaim Christ to fans at major sporting events like the Super Bowl, World Cup, Olympics, Final Four, and Rugby World Cup in the United States of America and around the world. So go to sportsfanoutreachinternational.org for more information.
And welcome to G220 Radio. I'm your host, Ricky Gantz, and I want to thank you for joining me tonight here on G220 Radio. We talk about a variety of topics from a biblical worldview, and our purpose is to equip, encourage, and edify our brothers and sisters in Christ. On this episode, we are going to talk about brotherly love, as well as listen to some music and audio clips I have lined up for you in the queue. You see, tonight, actually, I really wasn't even going to have a show because it has been moved to Thursday night this week because of a scheduling conflict that I had. I actually thought that this was the week we were doing an outreach at the church where I attend, and I got them confused. It's actually on the 7th, so there was not going to be a show this week because the guests that I had come on, I told them that I couldn't do a show on Tuesday, and that we scheduled it for Thursday this week. We're going to be dealing with presuppositional apologetics. That'll be this Thursday. Also next week, there won't be a show on Tuesday because that will be the day when we actually have the outreach going on at the church. And so that was what I was thinking in my mind, and that is why I tried to make some changes. However, tonight I really wasn't thinking much about doing a show, but there were some things on my mind. I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about brotherly love. And so I went ahead and got that together and decided to go ahead and throw a show together here for you tonight. But there are some things that I want to play. There's some things in the queue. There were some things that I didn't get to play when we did the show the other day about the Supreme Court's ruling. And so there was a couple audio clips that I do want to play. A lot of people are talking about homosexuality and gay marriage being the same as being black, equating it to being black. It's an argument that I've heard personally, and it's an argument that's out there. And so I wanted to share with you what Vodi Bakum has to say about is gay the new black. If I can get it to play.
What is the difference between the civil rights movement and the so-called gay rights movement of today? Not a whole lot. Unfortunately, I think there are some things that we accepted philosophically in the civil rights movement that were not based in biblical truth. And those things are being applied in the gay rights movement the exact same way. And now we're calling them out. For example, the idea of constituentizing people, to create a word, you know, seeing people as constituencies and seeing rights as rights for constituencies of people, and this continued division of ourselves based on our constituencies and our so-called communities, this community, that community, the other community, and rights being sort of divvied up by community. That's problematic. And this you know, hyphenated understanding of ourselves, as opposed to a view that sees us as one people, opposed to a view that sees us as moving toward that concept and that idea of us as one people. I think what we're seeing now is the homosexual community latching on to some of those very concepts. These concepts, by the way, which are rooted and grounded in cultural Marxism. This was the goal of Gramscian Marxism, divide people up into constituencies. And then the way you gain power is by making promises to and representing particular constituencies. Now, you never give them what you promise, but by creating this idea of constituencies and being the one who is the representative of the constituencies, you gain power and you keep your power to the degree that things don't get better for your constituency. See, if things get better for your constituency, you lose your power. So now what happens is even when gains are made, you have to downplay those and go looking for other things that are problems, because again, that's the way you keep your power. The homosexual community has latched onto that, has identified themselves as a constituency who is deserving of, you know, our attention and our pity. You know, they did this intentionally using the AIDS crisis, and the direct result is they now have achieved a one-to-one correlation that we're finding it very hard to move away from. So are there differences between ethnicity and so-called sexual orientation? Absolutely there are. Ethnicity is innate and unchangeable. So-called sexual orientation is not innate, and it is changeable. We know this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is 2,000-year-old evidence that people stop being gay. So we know that it's neither innate nor is it unchangeable. So there are huge differences between the two. However, if all you're doing is using the language of the culture and the idea of people as constituencies, then you end up right where we are, and it's hard to stop that train.
Well, sorry about that dead air there. It looked like there's more time on it and there's no sound. So we'll move on along from there. There was another thing I wanted to play here dealing with this as well. And so it was dealing with the homosexual things that was there, and I didn't really get around to that. So here we go. This is How Can Homosexuality Be Wrong?
So, Russell Vody, a lot of Christians seem to lose their footing when they're talking with a neighbor about homosexuality and trying to explain why it's wrong. I mean, they know how to quote maybe a couple Bible verses, but explaining the wrongness of it, especially when the response is, well, it's not hurting anybody, so how could it be wrong if it's not harming anybody? What would you guys say to that?
Well, I would say, first of all, you have to ask, what is this for? What is sexuality for? And so if we believe that God designed this, then it means that there's a purpose to it. And the complementarity of a man and a woman in a marriage relationship, fidelity, one flesh, that stands behind the whole reason for the design of sexuality. It's not just an individual matter. It's something that has to do with binding those two together in connection with future generations and with the generations that have come before. So it's kind of a big picture discussion about why do we even have sex? What's the purpose here? And then the other problem is what a lot of our gay and lesbian neighbors assume is that we have marriage and we're wanting to restrict this marriage and we're not wanting them to have it. So we're wanting to keep something to ourselves. What we're saying is not we don't want you to be able to get married. We're saying that same-sex marriage is impossible based upon what sexuality and what marriage is. So it's not that we're trying to disappoint our neighbors. We're saying this is for the good of human flourishing, and we love you. That's the reason why not only do we say that we think there's some restrictions for you, there's some restrictions on us in terms of what this looks like.
Yeah, and there always have been.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important point. I think people also need to understand two things. One, we say it's not harming anybody. It's me in my bedroom. Well, the current debate about marriage explodes that myth. This is not private. This is pressing upon culture as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And because they framed it in civil rights language, it means that. This is the greatest farce ever. You can go ahead and practice your religion. This has nothing to do with you practicing your religion. If this is a civil rights issue, and if us not doing weddings for homosexuals or not hiring homosexuals becomes violating civil rights, then it is not conceivable that the church will be unharmed by this.
Mm-hmm.
So that myth is exploded. This is not private. This is public. The other thing is that all legal decisions are based on principles and established precedent. And right now the principle is, you know, sort of the Beatles mentality. All you need is love. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's the case, if marriage is based on popular opinion and who loves each other, the 50-year-old man and the 12-year-old boy, the man and his daughter, so on and so forth. And everybody say, oh, red herring. No, not once the principle is established. So this is not private,
right.
And it doesn't stop here.
Yeah, I think we ought to even challenge the principle that just because something doesn't harm, that takes it out of the realm of morality.
Yeah.
If you cheat on your wife and she never finds out about it, and you lie about it, is it wrong? And I think most people would say yes, because lying is inherently wrong.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is realizing that a lot of times harm does not reveal itself immediately.
Right.
You know, if you are violent towards someone, that's an immediate effect. But
right.
you have to look at the long-term effect of the harm. And for as long as there's been human history, you mentioned this, Vody, that the sanctuary into which families have been brought forward has been a monogamous relationship between two opposite genders where they learn to love the other, and that is what the Creator called marriage.
Right.
You know, the Achilles heel right now of the homosexual, you know, so-called marriage debate is just the utter lack of monogamy. You know, that's something that's not really in that. And so once you start tearing down the otherness of marriage, the sanctuary of monogamy, that lifelong faithfulness into which a family arises, the harmful effect may not be demonstrably immediate, but I think you'll see it. And I think a lot of surveys start to bear that out.
Well, one of the things I think that we need to recognize is that the language that's being used here is language that we have already surrendered to.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why this is such a confusing thing for a lot of evangelical teenagers is because we have been talking as though marriage is an individual matter between two people. Our wedding ceremonies, couples are writing their own vows.
Right.
They're dictating the terms, and this is our big day where we're celebrating our life. And that's not what marriage is in a Christian context.
Yeah.
And so even when for a long time you've had in Christian churches couples who are newly married, and the people are coming by and saying, now make sure that you wait a long time before you have children so that you're able to enjoy one another.
Right.
As though you can't enjoy one another
right.
raising up children together. Well, you're already
right.
surrendering to the terms that the rest of the culture says, well, if that's what marriage is celebrating a relationship between two people, we have a relationship. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't we do this?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we've got to back up and reclaim in our own churches a longer, bigger definition of what marriage is and
mm-hmm.
start grounding that back in Ephesians 5 rather than the ways that we've commented.
So maybe related to this, what role does the church have right now in speaking about this issue? I mean, there's some who say this discussion's lost. We just need to let the world be the world and we'll just focus on the church. I mean,
you know, the fact of the matter is we're in this world, although we're not of this world. The fact of the matter is the church is the pillar and the ground of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't take the truth and hide it under a bushel.
Mm.
That's not the church. We don't live these completely separate, sort of bifurcated lives. That we are the light of the world. We are the salt that preserves. And so it's inconceivable that we would not speak to this issue.
Mm-hmm. I had a pastor tell me not long ago, he said, why don't we just say, allow everybody to redefine marriage on the outside, and we'll just maintain Christian marriage on the inside of the church. And I said, well, we tried that with the divorce culture.
Yeah.
And what happens? We wind up with churches that have said, we're just going to allow this to take place, no-fault divorce on the outside, not speak to it, and then speak to it internally, and that collapses into the church. It transforms the nature of the church, number one. Number two, it's not loving to neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
We have an accountability to one another. Divorce hurts kids, hurts families, hurts the entire social fabric. So does the expanding out of marriage to where marriage doesn't mean anything anymore.
Right.
I mean, there's a reason why the state is involved in marriage in the first place. State doesn't have anything to do with registering people as friends. Doesn't have anything to do with those things. It has an interest in male-female marriage because male-female marriage can lead to something very dangerous for the state, and that is children. And the state has to say, who is the father of this child?
Right.
Who's accountable for
paying
for this child?
Exactly.
That's the distinction there.
And you think also the spiritual danger. I mean, just thinking of the role of the church as priest in the community. 1 Corinthians 6, those who practice such things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This is, in many ways, a gospel issue because
absolutely.
We fail to preach here.
Absolutely.
You know, I think of John the Baptist. I've thought about, you know, him in this culture. You know, I mean, just think about the absurdity of his death. And you can hear the critics today say, well, see, that's what you get from messing around in politics.
Right.
Of course Herod's going to sleep with his brother's wife because they're the world. We got the world be the world.
Yeah. Why are you surprised?
Right.
Yeah. That just kills me when people, why are you surprised?
Like, Jesus called him the greatest prophet that had ever lived.
Yeah.
You know, up until his time, and you think of where is the spirit of John the Baptist? Who, I mean, are we willing to the spirit of John the Baptist's enemy? The spirit of John the Baptist's enemies is at work within them today. But where is the John the Baptist in our culture?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me say quickly a hearty amen to that. But thank you for addressing what I think are two core issues as it relates to responding to the culture, because they say on the one hand, well, now you guys are concerned, but nobody says anything about divorce. That's a flat-out lie. I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time, and there's a long paper trail of us, you know, talking about this and dealing with this for a long time. And the second thing is Christians, and both of you have hit on this, Christians either saying, well, why are you surprised? That's them. This is us. Or saying, well, the state has no business and no place in marriage. And I think you just succinctly addressed
that. Nobody believes that.
Yeah, it's
unless
yeah.
you have children
yeah.
who are abandoned on the side of the road
yeah.
And the state has no interest. If that's the kind of world you want to live in,
right.
Then that's the case. But that's not the world anyone wants to live in. I mean, not even the Roman Empire was that bad off.
Right.
And so we have to have the state coming in.
Right.
Even just at the level of adjudicating between people, what
right.
Solomon had to do.
Right.
Who do these babies belong to?
A woman who's abandoned.
Yeah, exactly.
What do we do? Somebody's responsible when yeah. a woman's abandoned, and that becomes a judicial issue there. And I think what people are trying to say is the state doesn't have the authority to define marriage. And
that's exactly right.
And I'll go there,
yeah.
but they have to acknowledge what the definition
right.
is.
And that was just a couple clips that I wanted to play on the show previously when we did one on when the Supreme Court ruled. And I wasn't able to get to those audio clips. So that was a couple of them I wanted to play, like I said. But tonight we're dealing with brotherly love, and I have a audio set up to play that I already recorded for brotherly love, what I wanted to say there in dealing with that topic. But being that the show is about brotherly love, I want to encourage some people who have been a true encouragement to me and just acknowledge them. I want to acknowledge the guys from Hearts for the Lost that have been on the show for the last month, the different guys from the ministry, that have been on the show. They was a huge encouragement, and I want to encourage them and show some brotherly love to these guys. I want to acknowledge George Alvarado, who's been a good dear brother in Christ, and he is the author of the book Apostasy. I want to acknowledge him. I want to acknowledge Austin Hetzler, who's been a partner in the ministry, who's been out there on the street sharing the gospel with me and having Bible studies and doing all kinds of things for the Lord and just what we've been seeing the Lord do in this area and through our churches has just been only of the Lord. And so I want to build these brothers up. Adam Wright, who is another brother that I've been out on the streets with, and he is just faithful and wanting to go out there and share the gospel. John Eckel, Joe Conkle. These are just some brothers that I want to build up and acknowledge them tonight, as well as I'll have others, you know, throughout the night to acknowledge them as well and just say thank you to these brothers in Christ who have been instrumental in my life. An encouragement to me, edifying to me through, you know, the things that they have taught and the things they've put out in their ministries. And so I just want to say thank you to those guys. And again, I have some more names, and I'll get to some of those other names later on. But right now we're going to go to a commercial and then have a song after that. Like I said, tonight is just we're going to have some things that have been in the queue and some songs, and then we're going to deal with this brotherly love that I already have uploaded, and it's about an 8-minute clip or so that I uploaded. So here we go with a commercial, and we'll be right back.
If you want to grow in your understanding of God's Word and learn to study the Bible for yourself, join Pastor Andrew Rappaport as he teaches each week from the Word of God. The teaching is free through the Internet, but paid students receive a syllabus for each course with extra study materials. The cost is only $50 per year, with special pricing for church groups. And you get to choose from the School of Biblical Hermeneutics or the School of Systematic Theology. Sign up today for Striving for Eternity Academy. Details at strivingforeternity.org.
Imagine Jesus walking onto your local college campus. What would he say? Would he be like Matthew chapter 9, seeing the people harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and say, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few? At Christian Collegiate Network, we are sending workers into the harvest. We are training students how to proclaim the glorious gospel, not only in the way that they live their lives, but how to speak to the campus community about the gospel. If you want to support our ministry at Christian Collegiate Network by becoming a campus leader or financially, go to changeyourcampus.com. Christian Collegiate Network, changeyourcampus.com.
Cannibalism is okay as long as you're not actually hurting somebody.
Wouldn't eating someone hurt them?
I'm trying to do the best I can.
There's only one way to have your sins forgiven.
As born-again Christians, part of our duty is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or have never witnessed before, Witness Radio has something for you. Tune in next time to strengthen your faith and learn how to defend it. Go to witnesstalkradio.org. That's witnesstalkradio.org.
Thank you. perfectly, a great high priest whose name is love. Whoever lives and pleads for me, and my name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart, no tongue can bid me thence depart. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because a sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the one risen Son of God. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spot, righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One in himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high. My Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the one risen Son of God.
For me and my house, we will serve you, Lord.
Tonight is kind of an impromptu, even though this is the actual night that we do G220 Radio, but it was changed to Thursday night this week because of a scheduling issue on my part. I messed up and forgot that it's actually next week that we're doing something at my church on Tuesday and not this week. So that's kind of an impromptu because I decided to move it to Thursday, like I said, but just decided there were some things on my mind and I wanted to kind of talk about a little bit dealing with brotherly love. And speaking of brotherly love, I want to mention a couple more brothers and sisters in Christ who have been an encouragement to me and people that I just want to encourage and lift up and say thank you to them. Brothers like Andrew Rappaport and Ryan Muniak of Witness Radio, as well as some sisters, Beth Morris and Mary Vitrino Thompson. These have been people that have encouraged me, have edified me, and helped me in my growth. And I want to say thank you to them. And I want to lift them up. Speaking of Andrew Rappaport, and I mentioned George Alvarado earlier, there's a Frontier Outreach that I want to let you know about. It's an evangelism conference in July, on July 23rd through the 25th in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I just blended the two words together. That's funny. I guess it is too late. Usually I'm done by this time. But in Cheyenne, Wyoming, in July 23rd through 25th, and Andrew Rappaport will be a speaker, and George Alvarado as well, and Steve Bauer. And this is a free conference, so check it out. If you're in that area and are able to attend, please do. If you want to go there and attend, I think it will be very beneficial for you. It's going to be a good outreach. a couple days. You're going to be out there. Lots of people coming through and an opportunity to get out on there and share the gospel. And speaking about sharing the gospel, why is it so important that we go out and share the gospel? Part of G220 Radio, one of the biggest parts of this ministry is the fact that we go out and evangelize. And on this show, I like to bring on people who are out there on the streets, people who are ministries that might not be so well known by many people, might not get the opportunity to go on some of these big-name radio shows, but these are guys who are faithful, brothers and sisters, I should say, because they're sisters as well, who are faithful in going out on the streets and evangelizing, either through open-air preaching, handing out tracts, or one-to-one conversations. But they're faithful. They're faithful in what the Lord has called us to do in fulfilling the Great Commission. And why is that so important? I want to play a little thing, an audio clip that's been in my queue for a little while, and I haven't got to it, but this is why it's so important that we evangelize. Who is Jesus? And this is an audio clip that I picked up off the off of YouTube of someone going around asking people this question and some of the responses that you hear. And this is why, like I said, it's important that we evangelize.
Yes.
Can you maybe describe him a little, like, characteristic-wise?
He was born in Bethlehem and in AD. He was born, let me see, I go to church every Sunday, so I should know this.
Have you ever heard of Jesus?
Yes, I have.
Can you maybe describe him?
Somebody who accepts all. He was a good guy, I guess.
Jolene, have you heard of Jesus?
Of course.
Can you maybe describe him for me?
Well, they say he is a man with a beard. He's all about the love.
Elena, have you heard of Jesus? Huh? Can you tell me a little bit about him?
I know that he got crucified on the cross because for our beliefs and stuff.
I have heard of Jesus.
Can you tell me a little bit about him?
Yeah, Jesus was this guy who lived around zero, and he was basically a guy who was pretty radical for his time. He was a Jew, but he was going a little bit against what the church at that time, the Jewish church, was preaching. He preached love. He preached compassion, and he basically wanted to spread that word.
The Bible says that there's only one way to have a relationship with God, through Jesus. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I think that it's kind of open to interpretation as well. I mean, all accepting gives more than just one way, I guess, is the way I see it.
The Bible says that the only way to have a relationship with God is through Jesus. What do you think about that?
I think that's a little crap, because, well, no matter what, if you believe in God, then you can actually talk to him about it, I guess.
Have you heard of Jesus?
I have heard of Jesus Christ.
Can you describe him a little for us?
I see Jesus as more of a teacher, much like a lot of other great teachers, you know, Buddha, Muhammad, and I kind of see him as a good teacher as far as showing people how to live.
Have you heard of Jesus?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about him?
My mom, she did the Bible and stuff, and she told me about why he died for our sins and stuff like that.
Have you heard of Jesus?
Yes.
Can you maybe describe him for me?
I think he's a pretty spiritual, peaceful, centered guy. Tried to look at the higher principles of doing good things and trusting that there'd be a ripple effect. Yeah, I like him, even though I never met him.
The Bible says in order to have a relationship with God, you need to go through Jesus. What do you think about that?
I don't believe that at all. I think that if you're a good person, you have a good heart, you treat people good, and you contribute to society in a positive way, and you're compassionate towards all sentient beings, then if God doesn't let you into heaven because you don't believe in Jesus, then I don't want to be a part of that God.
That is why we go and evangelize, because there's a lost and dying world who have no idea who Jesus Christ is. The ideas that they have of Jesus Christ are either ideas that they've come up with their in their own imaginations, or things that they have taken from people who preach a watered-down gospel or very little to no gospel at all. Many times these are people that we run into on the streets that have gone to Sunday school, and they hear little stories, but they don't even know. I remember talking to someone who had been in church for 20-some years and told them that Jesus is God, and they said, no, Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah, he's God. He's the second person of the Trinity. So it's important that we get these things down. It's important that we go and share the gospel with people because we want them to know Christ. Ultimately, it's up to Christ whether or not he saves these people, because we do believe in a sovereign God, a God who does save and a God who does redeem those that he died for. So we believe in that Jesus, but we go and preach it to everyone. We'll be right back after another commercial break. If I can figure out where. Okay, here we go.
Hey, George Alvarado here. Ever wondered why the majority of people who call themselves Christians don't share their faith? Do you know what you would call someone who does not regularly, consistently, and purposefully obey the Great Commission? Would you know what word to use? Apostasy, the greatest omission, answers these questions and more. My book not only coins a new word that Christians can use to describe the sin of not evangelizing, but it diagnoses the reasons why this sin is so rampant in our Western churches. And it provides a thorough, biblical understanding of the root causes so that you and other professing Christians can expose the greatest sin of omission. So whether you or your local church is on fire for the Lord, or you know somebody who is about as on fire as a wet match, this book is for you. Purchase your copy of Apostasy, the Greatest Omission at TrackPlanet.com and like our Facebook page to get the most recent updates concerning this book. Remember, it's Apostasy, the Greatest Omission, at TrackPlanet.com.
Our mission here is to spread the gospel with our clothing and way of life.
What's the gospel?
Jesus Christ is God in the flesh.
Who came to save sinners?
Died on a cross, nailed my sin there too, was placed in the grave.
3 days later, he defeats sin and death.
And that man, that God, that man, Christ Jesus, rose again from the dead.
But those who would come from their sin and trust in him.
Amen, somebody.
Our desire, God will use wrath and grace as a tool to save the lost. Our hope, bring glory to God, man. All praise to him.
Unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And what better way than to use our clothing as the way to witness? Now you can preach the gospel anywhere it's to.
It's all wrath and grace since we know it's Christian. And this business is consistent with the Holy Scripture.
Stop by WrathandGrace.com and join the movement. WrathandGrace.com.
Praise and honor unto
by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me, whom the Son sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Yeah, now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. See, the stone is rolled away. Behold the empty tomb. Hallelujah, God be praised. Salvation, where your love poured out over me. And now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Praise and honor unto
It never ceases to amaze me how fast an hour goes when you're doing the radio show. We still have, you know, a good maybe 13 minutes left in the show, give or take. It's never actually correct on my countdown on my studio. It tells me a number, but it's never right. So I do want to get to what the show is really all about, is brotherly love. Now, I hope this audio clip, because I kind of pre-recorded this, because it was something that I wrote in a blog post, and I kind of just went through reading it. So hopefully the audio is clear and not too loud, and I put some music behind it. You know, I got to get that radio feel going, you know, that special effects or whatever. So here it is, but it's dealing with brotherly love. But before I do that, again, I want to encourage some brothers and sisters that, again, have meant a lot to me and have helped me out and encouraged me. And so Chris Fox is definitely one. He's another part of the ministry. I really do appreciate this brother there. Bill Adams, who's been a huge help and encouragement to me in going out to these Kentucky Derbies and all the events that he puts on. And I've only been to the Kentucky Derbies, but you know, you learn a lot from this man and his passion, his desire to get others out there to do that. Bobby McCreary, Anthony Silvestro, and Jennifer Pepling, these are people that have encouraged me as well. And so I'm thankful, and I just want to say thank you to them, and thank you to all of those who have been an inspiration to me and an encouragement to me. I really do appreciate it. Now we're going to get into this topic of brotherly love. Again, this is me just reading a blog that I wrote, and I'm going to go back and fix that blog up because there were some things that I added to it. So here we go.
Let's talk about brotherly love. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." Now, brotherly love, I believe, should be very evident in a Christian's life. One thing I have noticed as a Christian, though, is that many times this becomes neglected. We may love our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we may even pray for them at times. However, sometimes I believe we can get caught up in our own lives that we fail to notice or give time to a brother or sister in need. I will admit, it is very easy to become distracted by other things in our daily lives that we neglect loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. So what are some ways you can be there for a brother or sister in need? Well, I'm glad you asked. Many of us have older saints that attend our churches who it may be hard for them to get out and do yard work or to get to the store. So one way you can help out an elderly brother or sister in Christ is by just simply stopping by and asking if they need anything. Some elderly, I am sure, would just enjoy the company of someone dropping in for a visit. Most likely, after the visit, you will be the one more blessed than the one you visited. Paul also wrote in Galatians 6:2 to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Here Paul is telling us to bear one another's burdens. How often do we do that as brothers and sisters in Christ? Why does this seem so hard for some Christians to do? Sometimes I think it is because Christians don't open up with other believers about their struggles. For example, if a brother is struggling with a certain sin in their life and wants to share it with someone, most of the time they will not, either because of their own pride, that they don't want anyone to know they have problems, maybe due to the fact that they want to keep up this super Christian identity as if everything is just great and they never have issues. Another reason could be because they fear others knowing their sin will cause some who find out to treat them differently and don't want to be looked down upon or having it spread throughout the church. I think we all know someone, either now or at some point in our Christian life, that just loved to find out about someone struggling with something and just had to share it with the entire church, but pretending like they were just asking for prayer for the struggling believer, rather than calling it what it was truly, gossip. Even worse than that is when you take something to a pastor and tell them about a sin you are struggling with that you thought was between just the two of you, but come to find out later that he told one or two others about it, and so you become weary of talking to him about your situations. I know I have been there before, where I have been in to talk to a pastor about something going on in my life, and he began to tell me about another person in the church who was struggling with an issue. It made me put on the brakes and not share what I came in there to talk to him about. Another example is maybe you've taken your struggle to another brother or sister in Christ, and afterward you felt a coldness from that person. Maybe they tend to avoid you after that or think differently about you. That's why it is very important to have a brother or sister in Christ you can trust and share with during times of struggles with sin. Someone you know will be there for you and pray with you to help you deal with the sin and by God's grace overcome that sin. We as believers should feel safe with a good brother or sister in Christ that will be there for us, that will look to encourage us through our struggle, either with a sin in our lives or a trial in which we are going through. Now in my next point, I want to cover, under the topic of brotherly love, the lack thereof when it comes to different views in theology, especially ones over social media or on popular radio podcasts. Many times I have observed over social media brothers and sisters who have disagreed with each other over theological issues, where it would get so heated or resort to false accusations and lead to one party deleting and blocking the other brother or sister in Christ. I've even seen grown men who didn't get along or disagreed with a certain individual tell others on their friends list that they were going to delete everyone who is friends with so-and-so unless they delete that person as well. To which I say, grow up. Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The way some have acted over social media is not living according to what Jesus said in the verses I just quoted. Where is the love we have for one another? Where is the maturity? As grown men and women, especially claiming to be Christians, we should be able to talk out our differences in a brotherly manner, loving one another without resorting to childish behavior. I've also listened to it on podcasts where one show calls out another show and then a feud goes on between the two shows. Sometimes even other podcasts or ministries get involved, and I just sit back and I think to myself, how in the world does this glorify God? There is absolutely nothing wrong with disagreeing with another over a theological matter. But again, to resort to acting like children, and worse than that, acting and resorting to do the same things the world does when they have disagreements is just downright sad. Christians, grow up. Remember, Christ said, they will know you are my disciple by your love for one another. Let us love the way Christ loved us, sacrificially. Take time to pray for and love a brother or sister in Christ. We all need it at times. And believe me, it will be just as beneficial to you as it will be to them. Let's build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's not tear each other down just because we don't agree on every theological point. Let us show brotherly love to our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Well, I hope that was an encouragement to you. I know it might have been hard to hear. It sounded better when I was actually putting it together, although it was pretty fast that I put it together, so I didn't have a lot of time to play around with it. And the music was a little bit louder, so hopefully you was able to hear it. I'm still working on that blog and going to just retweak it and then put it back out on the website. So let's build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's not be childish. Let's not be so immature to the point where we can't disagree lovingly with a brother and sister in Christ without deleting them or just bad-mouthing or putting, like, saying things about them that are not true. I mean, let's encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's lift them up. Let's edify them and encourage them to continue in this walk and not have all this bickering back and forth. Now, I understand over things that are definitely essentials. I mean, if there's essentials, then we definitely divide over essentials. But the non-essentials, we can have disagreements and still be loving to one another. So let's encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that was our show for tonight. Like I said, this Thursday night we have our show that was supposed to be for today, but then rescheduled, and that'll be with Anthony Silvestro and Thomas Cruz, and we're going to be dealing with presuppositional apologetics. Until then, God bless.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involved in making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of smalty music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe that today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to Him